Hello there, it is I, your host and DM. Before this episode starts, I would like to say thank you for listening and just a few quick things. One, this is our first episode, so our recording setup wasn't great. Please bear with us, it does get much better on later episodes. And two, because this was also our first episode and we didn't even have a name at this time, there are going to be some things that sound a little clunky, and just bear with me, I promise you they get better. Thank you for listening, and on to the episode. Welcome to the tavern, friend. It's funny. I've got quite the tale to tell, and here you sit. Yes, quite the tale indeed. I've got a tale of wild magic and good friends in distant lands. I've got a tale of dicey encounters. Him, I will be your benevolent overlord for this adventure. Or, you know, tyrannical overlord. We'll see. Don't give me that look, Jason. This will be a lot of fun. I'm excited to get started and do some terrible accents.
Hey everyone, my name is Jace. Pronouns are they, them, and I will be playing Rook Arantine, who is going to be your human eldritch knight fighter.
I'm Shannon. I use she, they pronouns, and I'm playing Jim Eacher. He is a wild magic barbarian, and he uses he, him pronouns.
Hi, I am Amber. Pronouns are she, her, and I will be playing Kelta Arensdotter, a battle mage trident wielder, Iskenazi.
Nice. I think we may do a separate episode just explaining reading the battle mage class, because both battle mage and Iskenazi are homebrew, so you're full homebrew on this one. I love it. Each of you find yourselves in the central plaza of Shio, the capital of Fierain, which is packed with people from countries around the continent. The sweet smell of pastries and exotic spices hit your nose as you see a long street lined with vendors to your left. A halfling band plays jovial folk music beside an ornate fountain in the middle of the plaza. And it's late afternoon, a deep purple dusk creeping across the sky. And if you look closely enough, you can see an elf setting up fireworks atop one of the surrounding buildings. However, none of this compares to the splendor of the massive Colosseum which looms on the hill above the city proper. The excitement for the main event of the annual Festival of Harmony is like electricity in the air. So you are all in this plaza. What would you like to do? Go wait in line to take your seats early. But in this sort of central plaza, there are a variety of shops. First is the Copper Cauldron Inn, which you would recognize as a franchise of taverns that is pretty mediocre. This is your average sort of like bar chain. Beside that is the Witch's Tower, which you can't tell, there's no description, but there are large windows, hanging shelves with various plants and bottles with strange liquids in them. You could probably assume it's a potion shop. Of course, there are the food stalls. Beside the Witch's Tower is the Forge, which is, it just says the Forge in big letters, and there's an anvil and a hammer. You could probably assume it's a blacksmith's. On the other side is Adventurer's Paradise, and under it's a little blurb that says, "Year one-stop shopping for all things adventuring." And beside that is Tasha's Trinkets and Treasure Shops. I didn't steal the D&D 5e character, I just liked the name. Beside that is Haggle's Magical and Mystical Items. In between those two is Silamok spells. There is one shop in the window. There's sort of like butcher paper obscuring it. And there is a sign that in loopy letters says Modrain's Magical Machine Company, but there is a sign in the window that says opening soon.
We got a bank of shops that is basically adventurers' stop and shop, basically. You got your apothecary, you got your forge, and then you've got like fantasy weather spoons.
Yes.
Dibs on fantasy weather spoons.
I guess.
I will say now that for legal reasons that is a joke. We do not own the copyright.
Right. I will go in alphabetical order of player name, I suppose. Amber, what would you like to do?
I would like to go to the Copper Pot Inn and just kind of hang out for a little bit.
Nice. So you make your way to the Copper Cauldron Inn. It is packed. This Festival of Harmony is like the Super Bowl if it were global. Like, this is a big deal, so it is packed. There is a band in the corner playing jovial folk music. There's a big dance floor in the center, and it is just like packed to the brim. This is like a bar on New Year's. It is a very big room, so there's this dance floor in the center, and then a large floor of like tables, and then lining the edges of the room are booths for you to sit in, and then on the far side there is a bar. Probably a seat or two left at the bar if you feel like squeezing in there. Yeah, but what would you like to do in the town?
Go up to the bar area and order like basically just a milk or something, because I don't drink much, and then just sit at a booth and just watch, like people watch and see what's going on in the town, or that area.
The barkeep will give you a quizzical look. He will bring you milk and sort of just like slide it across the bar and say, that'll be 2 copper. Oh god, my Scottish is bad. Okay. But yeah, that'll be 2 copper. I know, I roll my R's too much. Don't look at me like that, Jace.
Sure, here. And I'll give him the copper.
He'll take it and move on, because there's a lot of customers. And there's multiple waiters as well that are bringing food to people. You've probably eaten in a Copper Cauldron Inn before, depending on how much you've been to Fierain. You should probably be wary of the food, but Jace, you're up next. What would you like to do?
Also going to head to the Copper Cauldron Inn, purely because it's the most likely place to have a bulletin board for adventurers, I'd imagine, which means there's likely to be bounties posted on said bulletin board. And being a bounty hunter, the fuck was that?
Alrighty, so you stroll into the Copper Cauldron and you once again see this very busy, festive event. A lot of them are torn down, there's only a couple of postings left. Yeah, there is an adventurer's bulletin board on one side, and you get through the crowd and get to this. And yeah, there is a posting, it just says the Shadow, and they're holding like 2 rapiers and they've got like wide-brimmed hat. Wanted, dead or alive, 500 gold. Crimes include murder, theft, and breaking and entering.
Okay. Does it offer any leads? Is where to start, or is it just...
There's probably a little sign that says contact barkeep for more information.
Guess we're heading to the bar.
Yeah, you sit down at the bar, and this a very busy dwarf, it takes about 10 minutes or so, but he eventually comes over to you and says, right, what can I get for you?
I'm just looking for some information, to be honest.
Right. What can I do?
I'll pull out the bounty and hand it to him.
This one. Yeah. He stole from the tavern. Last I saw him, he was sort of around back, but I don't know who he may be affiliated with. We've got a couple gangs in town, but one thing I can't tell you, he was wearing a little black pin with a bat on it.
A black bat's
pin? That may mean something. Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so.
Well, thank you for the information. I shall do my best to uncover him.
Best of luck. Can I get you anything to drink while you're here?
No, I don't partake.
Right then, and he moves on. And Shannon, what will you be doing?
So, my man Jim, he knows the reputation of the Copper Cauldron. There's one in Port Citadel. He knows. He values his body. he's not gonna put that kind of food in there. So he's actually gonna
very
head
smart
straight to the Colosseum, because he very much is interested in this game for the beauty of the sport that it is. So he wants to get there early, he wants to get a good seat.
Roll me a perception check.
Okay. First roll of the game, let's go, guys.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a 14 on the dice, and perception I'm proficient in, so that is 17. Guys, I rolled
17.
I'm so nervous this is gonna go bad.
I mean, you're not gonna get, like, stabbed or anything if you fail. But
it's just exciting.
It was DC 10. you very clearly notice down by these food stalls that you see this tall human man who is dressed in the Royal Guard's outfit. The Royal Guard are like the king's personal bodyguard. There's only four of them, but in Fierain, they're sort of like celebrities because they most often fight in the Colosseum, and like this is someone that like your students would have had like, or I guess probably only your blade singers, but your students would have had like posters of.
Jim absolutely has an inspirational post when he still worked at the school. He did have an inspirational poster in his office with this picture on it that says, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't stab for."
Oh my god, I love it.
Yep, this man is carrying two rapiers, which fits the poster, and you would recognize it without a check as Adrian Harper.
So, is there like a crowd of people around him?
Oh yeah, 100%. There are people coming up to him and like asking him to sign things. People having him like sign. Can you sign a sword? Not really. You could probably sign the grip, maybe with magic. You would know he's a bard, so he's doing like, he's very charismatic in the way he's like working the crowd, and he's like smiling, and this is a big deal for him to be here, and he might be the champion of Fierain, although you do not know.
Jim is gonna walk over. I'm gonna walk over, and he's just gonna like, he's not gonna like shove through the crowd, though he totally could because he is a huge, imposing kind of guy. But eventually, when he gets near the front of the group, he is going to go to shake his hand.
He'll turn to you and kind of notice Jim, because, like, Jim is not a small dude.
No, he's not.
And he'll, like, extend a hand kind of probably over a couple other people in the way.
So Jim, like, grabs his hand, and I grab his hand, and it's definitely way too solid of a handshake. Like, he was the kind of guy who's always been taught that you need to give a solid... He's definitely squeezing it too hard for it to be, like, a common handshake. But, you know, he's really going for it. He's like, "Adrian, I would just like to say you are such an inspiration to my students."
Why, thank you. It's a pleasure to meet you. Are you a teacher of some sort?
I was formerly employed at the Port Citadel Academy for Wizards. You know, budget cuts and all, it's been a couple of years.
That's a bummer. The wizarding schools need a much better physical education. That's very noble of you. And he'll, like, shake your hand and probably move on to the next person. He's like, "Would you like me to sign anything, or..."
"No, sir, your acknowledgement is all I needed."
well, perfect. It's my pleasure. And then he moves on to the next person, sort of.
Jim is honestly a little bit elated inside. He's a little bit of a fanboy for these, like, athletic types, like the type of guy who would fight in a coliseum. He's excited. He is so excited for this.
I love it. Yeah, so you said after that, Jim's going back to the coliseum.
Yeah, he really wants to get a good seat so he can really take note of what's happening. He wants the best. Maybe not the best, because he is tall. He doesn't want to be, like, rude to the people behind him, because he's tall, but he wants a good seat.
Nice, nice. Alrighty, Amber, back to you. There's probably about 15 to 30 minutes before the tournament, like, opens, pretty much, for people to go take their seats.
I will spend, if it's like 15 to 30 minutes, I will spend 28 minutes in the bar and then run the last 2 minutes to get there. Like, as be almost as late as I possibly can to delay the inevitable.
Oh, right. Yeah. Roll me a perception
Okay.
check.
Seven.
Oh no!
I rolled a five.
And you die. No.
Oh, that was fast.
In this tavern, there are a lot of people who stand out, and you don't see anyone in particular that stands out more than the rest. There are some, say, a high elf wearing an elaborate cape and carrying a couple swords, but there's no one particularly interesting here. And these last 2 minutes, you sort of sprint to your seat. Jace, what will Rook be doing in his 15 to 30 minutes before this massive tournament starts?
Rook probably would have headed out of the bar slightly earlier and had started having a look around, see if they can spot anyone that looks remotely like the Shadow. Or is anyone
Don't blame my impromptu naming skills.
Or anyone with, like, bat iconography, because that's something that he's seen before.
It is something he's seen before. This is probably the first time you've really heard someone bring up the bat pin that since ever. You've probably asked around or something a solid bit at the Bounty Hunters Guild. So this is something.
Yeah. Like,
so you can look around like back alleys and things. There's probably like a couple shady looking figures who disperse once you get in the alley. But
yeah. And I'm not really like looking that hard currently. I'm just sort of like browsing to see if I can spot anything. And then we'll head to the Colosseum anyway. And I don't care what seat I get, I'm happy with standing room.
Well, your tickets all have a specific seat number on them. I would imagine it's like an airplane, like they'll randomly select people to get nicer seats for people who don't show up. Yeah, you head there, you can roll me, I guess justify a check to me, but I'd say perception or investigation, your choice.
I mean, I have proficiency in perception, so we'll go with that.
Cool. Give me our third perception of the day.
That'd be a 16.
That's pretty good. With this sort of general perception, you notice a tall man, like, sprinting towards the Colosseum up this, like, winding set of stairs that are, like, carved into the side of this hill. You definitely notice Adrian, because you've lived in Fierain, so you pretty much know who he is. You definitely notice a couple of unsavory figures. And you can ask them questions if you like, but no one seems to be visibly wearing any bat iconography.
I only picked up the bounty as a curiosity because that's what I'm used to doing. I'm a bounty hunter. Like, I go to a new town, I'm going to, like, see if they need anything.
Nice. So you head to this Colosseum. As the sky grows dark, you hear the crack of fireworks above you. Dual curtains of sparkling gold rain down above the Colosseum, and an excited murmur rushes through the crowd, and people begin to rush towards the stone staircase carved into the hill that leads to this massive arena. You join the crowd, vaguely aware of where you've kept your ticket, and while you climb the stairs, you can just make out the spire of Castle Fierain piercing the sky behind it. You make your way through the crowds, and eventually take your seats scattered about the northern side of the stadium with your backs to the castle. Would you like to do anything before the main event starts? Or are you taking your seats and waiting?
Taking a seat and waiting.
Yeah, let's take a seat.
Cool.
Jim is so excited. He has been sitting there for like the past 10 minutes. He didn't want to miss anything.
I imagine he's just like at the edge of his seat, just like watching the like workers like rake the field or whatever.
He's interested in everything that's going on here. He wants to see how these games are played. So again, budget cuts. He's no longer employed at the Wizarding University. But you know, if there's anybody else who wants to learn, he's gotta know.
Oh my god, he's such a sports dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it so much. with the whistle. Okay. I love it. The crowd goes silent as lights are cast upon the arena floor by four towers around the Colosseum. An older elven man in a white and gold robe, surrounded by four guards, struts into the center of the stadium, a red carpet being rolled out in front of him by two servants. You would recognize this man to be the King of Fearing. One of the servants casts what you would assume to be a thaumaturgy spell on him because the king's voice booms as he speaks. Welcome to the Festival of Harmony. Fearing welcomes you with open arms as we embark upon another year of peace and prosperity together. I could continue on about our plans for the future and the ways in which our world will improve, but you don't really want to hear that. You're here for the main event, and may I present to you your champions. 8 people in regal outfits from their respective companies walk along the red carpet into this ring. First up, from the sort of home court, I guess it's always home court because this is always where the tournament is, Fierain is another man most of you would recognize. Maybe Amber, maybe not your character because you're from Dayord, who Dayordians generally don't really care all too much about sort of global politics and celebrities and things, but you can roll me a history check if you like. But most of you would recognize this man as Corvus Abree. He is dressed... Jace, don't give me that look. he is dressed in a pristine tunic and the military beret of green, white, and blue, which is Fierain's, like, national colors. And then from Dayord...
I rolled a 14, by the way.
14, yeah, okay. You know who he is. From Dayord, you would definitely know who this is named Alexi Berdzi, and he is a hulking Goliath wearing barbarian armor in the navy blue of Dayord. And then from the nation of Shirinia, there is this, like, elegant drow woman who's wearing, like, a wide-brimmed black hat, and she has a brown tunic with gold lining and a long, like, deep-flowing cape with Shirinia's emblem on the back. From Spirini, which is another country, there is an Arakocra paladin. You would assume they're wearing heavy armor and have medium armor, and have the emblem of their god on their shield. And you would recognize this emblem, pretty much everyone, as Tarkit, the god of glory and valor. And he's wearing, like, this, like, lavender and green tabard of Spirini. And then from Wahara Desert is a Tortle battle mage. Or you would probably know he's a battle mage because this person has won... He's only won one of the Festival of Harmony tournaments, but has competed in the last 6 or 7. And this is a Tortle battle mage wearing little other than a loose cloak and the golden red of the desert country. And then from Glubinia is a merfolk woman wearing the long, like, elegant blues and purples and greens, and this cloak that kind of, like, looks like a Mistborn cloak of these 3 colors that has, like, tassels hanging off of it. Like, when she moves, it just, like, kind of looks like water moving with her. And she's carrying, like, this large gilded trident. From the Great Bog is this giant lizard folk woman who's carrying a staff and is dressed in this sort of forest green robe with the emblem of the Great Bog, which is a cracked crown. And then finally, from the last country, the Shatterpeak Alliance, is a kobold wearing armor made of gilded dragon scales, and engraved gold lettering is the sigil of the Order of the Maw, which is the religious organization that runs the Shatterpeak Alliance. And at his hip is the scabbard of an incredibly fancy short sword. Shannon, roll me history with advantage.
Ooh, I get to use my gym teacher knowledge of... I get advantage on athletics history checks related to sports. Oh, that's a plus 0. 13.
13. You don't know much about it, but you would hear rumors that this kobold has an incredibly powerful magic sword.
Cool.
The first pairing is the Drow Ranger from Shirinia versus Corvus from Fierain. And it's a pretty close battle. They start, like, 50 feet apart, and this Drow Ranger does pretty well because she's a ranger, and gets some good long shots on him. before he can close the gap, because you would know him as Warlock. Meta-wise, he's a Warlock Samurai multi-class, but he is a mage that has dual swords. The next one is Dayord, the champion from Dayord versus Spearney. The one from Dayord wins pretty easily. And this is a shocker, actually, because, like, Spearney wins the vast majority of these tournaments, but this just, like, giant Goliath just easily takes down the Arakocra with some mix of, like, ice magic, and then they're just holding, like, a club. It's basically a tree with a blade on the end. Like, it's massive.
I cheer on that one louder than I should have.
Jim is always cheering louder than he should be. Like, no matter who wins, he's clapping for too long, he's cheering probably the loudest. He's cheering for both sides. Like, anybody gets a good hit, and he's like, nice job! Nice job, kids! Even, he says kids out loud, even though they're not necessarily, they're younger than him, but not that much. And he definitely shouldn't call them kids, but, like, he's all positivity for everybody. He doesn't care who wins. It's just the fact that it is a good game.
That's awesome. Love it. Jim gets a lot of like weird side glances. What's happening?
But I'd say like Rook definitely like can probably hear from his seat and just looks up occasionally. He's like, what the fuck?
I'm really leaning into that 8 charisma.
You too?
I love it.
Do you also have 8 charisma?
Yeah, I do.
Oh god. What is Rook's charisma?
14.
Okay,
good.
Good,
we have someone.
We have someone with moderate charisma.
I'm never in a party with high charisma.
Oh god. Alright.
Just one thought is playing through my head. Is, should have played a fucking warlock.
He's so sad right now.
Should have played a warlock. It's fine. You'll have guests later that hopefully have high charisma.
We're gonna have to have a paladin on or something. Or a bard.
Anything. You can always abduct Adrian.
Yeah! Maybe.
Don't do that. The Royal Guard will come after you.
What if we ask nicely?
With our 8 charisma.
Yeah.
With your 8 charisma.
We can roll nat 20s, who knows?
I have proficiency in persuasion, but it's a +0.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
The second to last fight of this first round, because it's tournament style, is between Wahara Desert and Glubinia. And this woman from Glubinia, Amber, your character specifically, would notice that this is also a Trident Battle Mage. And this is a big deal because it's like a fight between two Battle Mages. The Tortle is using the shield, and with their massive shell, they're just kind of like blocking a bunch of hits. But this merfolk is like taking none of that, just freezes over most of the battlefield and like conjures this big wave of water that knocks them over and then freezes it. And then it's over pretty quickly. And then the final fight after the ice has been melted by mages is between, and it's almost comedic. Because it is this absolutely massive lizard folk woman, and then this, like, tiny little kobold. And they enter at opposite sides of the ring. So you look down at the stadium to see the hulking figure of Inzu Ichthyros, the lizard folk shaman from the Great Bog, enter the ring. And opposite her, Sir Teg, a kobold that's barely 3 feet tall. And you guys can roll me a history check as well, if you want to see if you would know about, or have heard the rumors about this weapon. Rook, maybe you have, because you work for I would assume they would talk about fighting events, sort of, at the Bounty Hunters Guild.
Either way, it's a 22 on the history check, so...
Ooh,
yeah.
Dang.
Okay.
That's nice.
You know more than. You know that this weapon is rumored to be incredibly powerful. Everywhere... You don't know where it's from. You don't know how this little kobold got it, and you know that they have yet to bring it into battle, and that they are saving it for this. So, like, no one knows anything about this, and it hasn't been seen yet. Amber, did you?
I rolled a 5.
Gotcha. You have not heard any rumors.
It's just a pretty cool looking sword.
Yeah, it looks dope.
There's some dragon scales.
That's one dope scabbard.
Dude's gonna slay so many things with that, I swear.
So this fight starts, and Inzu fires a dual Eldritch Blast, the deep purple beams of crackling energy arcing across the stadium at this sprinting kobold. And Sarah, ducks behind the shield and deflects the spell and continues to charge forward. And he reaches for the Baroque scabbard at his hip and pulls out a golden short sword into the air, and you feel the world slow around you. For those of you who are spellcasters, something feels very off. So this is not like magic you've felt before, and you can feel it from the stands.
How close am I to them, roughly?
You're all probably within the first, 10 rows, I'd say.
Am I within 60 feet?
Probably not. The battlefield itself is 50 feet.
Okay, because I've got magical awareness. As a wild magic barbarian, but that has to be within 60 feet.
In this sort of brief second before whatever this is happens, Jim, you have felt magic like this before.
Oh no.
You've felt this when there was an explosion in the lab. This sword is imbued with an incredible amount of magic energy that's unlike any you've felt before, really, the rest of you. And This is distinctly different, but you can't place it. It just feels off.
So,
and then the blade flashes bright white, and you see your life before your eyes for a brief second before it explodes. You feel hot, searing pain for a moment, and then all is black.
Me?
All of you. You just see this magic energy ripple out from the sword and absolutely tear the battlefield apart. And there's this brief second of just screaming as the stadium crumbles, as this wave of fire explodes. Everything goes black as you pass out for a moment. You guys are far enough back in the stadiums not to be hurt too much, but you eventually come out of this dark haze, and the first thing you feel is pain. You look around you, and you see bodies.
Holy fuck.
But it's mostly dark. As your eyes adjust to the light, you realize you're in some sort of tunnel. The blast has blown you somewhere. And the ceiling and walls are very clearly constructed. It seems to be like a proper passage of stone bricks. However, to your left, the tunnel is collapsed in, and the passage is blocked. To your right, it continues onward, and you see a dim light around the bend. Then you realize it's not just corpses. Other people survived. And you look at one another.
Are we the only ones?
Would each of you like to say your character name? And sort of give a brief description of them. You don't know what happened to everyone else. There's about probably 20 or so people, including you guys, but the rest of them are dead in this tunnel. Wherever this explosion sent you, you've been closed in somewhere. This is there were thousands of people in the stadium, so they got probably blown elsewhere.
Oh my.
Dang.
Is it light enough so we can see a little bit? Because I don't have dark vision.
Your eyes eventually adjust to the dark, and there is a dim light coming from the end of this tunnel.
Okay,
so you can sort of see each other. So
Jim,
give a description of each.
Oh. I'm just gonna do a quick thing first. Jim's just gonna pull down his sleeve, not enough so anybody can see. So he's looking at the inside of his forearm. Does he see anything?
No.
No.
Not at the
Nothing's
moment.
Changed.
No.
Okay.
Nothing's changed.
Okay.
Who would like to go first?
I guess because I just talked, I'll go. So, this is Jim Thomas Eacher. That is his full name. His name's James Thomas Eacher. He goes by Jim. He's an older man. He's 45. He's a human. He is insanely, buff. Not in, necessarily, muscles defined, like Olympic weightlifter kind, where he's just a thick guy. And he's 6'3", He has shoulder-length black hair where he's pulled half up. And he's got, like, gray streaks in it. He's got a beard, a short black beard with, like, gray streaks. You see he's wearing, like, a long sleeve shirt. I don't know if the weather's necessarily appropriate for it, but he's absolutely wearing long sleeves, and he's wearing black leather gloves. And he has a silver whistle around his neck, if we're just doing physical character description. Also, he has a great axe strapped to his back.
You see a humanoid-looking person with a light blue skin. Long, like, shoulder length, or mid-back, sorry, length, white hair in a braid. Deep, like, glacier blue eyes. A short sword on their hip, wearing leather armor, but it's definitely for colder weather, so it's got, like, furs and stuff around the neck and shoulders and arms. About 16, and lanky, but they'll grow into their form eventually when they become an adult. But they're close. And yeah, my name is Kelta Aaron's daughter.
So, Rook is also human. Looks like a young adult. Has a bow that's somehow managed not to break during that whole thing, strapped to their back. Has a whip at one hip and has a short sword at the other. And you notice that the recurve of the bow, it is willow. That's been, like, twined together. In the center of the recurve is a glowing red stone, and on the ends of the recurve is blades.
Ooh, that's cool looking.
He's about 5'7", has quite pale skin. His hair is just, like, kind of like a dark gray, just pure, like, anthracite gray. And his eyes are very, like, bright magenta.
Ooh.
There's a scar running, like, just where his jawbone is, just, like, under there, across his left cheek. And he has a green bandana sort of tied around underneath his hair.
Nice. All of your clothes are a bit singed and ragged, but you guys realize that you see each other in this tunnel, and that is where we will end the first episode.
Dude!
Hey people, this is Jace. I play Rook Arantine. Thank you for listening to the Dicey Encounters podcast. Feel free to check us out on Twitter at EncountersDicey or on Instagram and TikTok at DiceyEncountersPod. Or you can contact us via the email diceyencounters@gmail.com. Also, I want to give a big shout out to Anchor, a free audio hosting site for helping us to distribute this podcast, and to @SoMattyGames on Twitter for our logo. All background music used is public domain sourced, and we do not claim ownership. We'll catch you next time for another Dicey Encounter.